All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Learning Center, or Monday Night Raw, as we have taken to calling it. Excited about what's going to go down tonight, our recap of the week. And then we always have these thought-provoking questions that have been posed by different callers, listeners, and people via social media. So thank you all for joining us here tonight. Let's go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Telius Carr. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Doing wonderful. What about yourself?
It's been a great, great day.
Good deal, good deal. Well, let us go ahead and dive right into the call. This is our Monday Night Raw, where we learn, just basically recap what we have learned from this past week. So please bear with us as we go ahead and dive into the call. Ms. Candy, if you don't mind, open us up with prayer, please.
Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us the opportunity to get back together this evening, Lord, for everything that shaped us throughout our day. We thank you, Lord, and we thank you for everyone who's represented here on the line. Lord, as your word goes forward tonight, Lord, we pray always that we are open to receive what you have for us, Lord. Lord, do not allow us to be closed off from your word, Lord, but allow us to open ourselves and truly take in the lesson that you have for us tonight. For we believe, Lord, that every time that we come together in your name, that you are there also. And every time, Lord, you deliver a message that is special for each and every one of us. And we thank you in advance for that message, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen.
Amen. All right, so with that being said, let us go ahead and get started real quickly because I want to, you know, get to these questions. We really have some interesting questions on this evening as we're talking about. Now, this week, y'all, we're recapping, you know, I'm still waiting. You know, I'm still waiting. You know, we've been doing that throughout the whole week. The topic has been ginormous, if you will. And if you recall, on Wednesday, for Bible study, we talked about Moses, how Moses was drawn out. You know, the name means drawn out, pulled out, called out of water. Okay? And we talked about their very, it was very, you know, wow, it's opened our eyes a lot. Okay? To how his situation and God called him out. And even in the midst of, we all have these perceptions of individuals, including people in the Bible, but we didn't know that Moses was on a run for approximately 40 years and still hadn't matured.
Yes, sir.
God was still waiting on Moses to mature. You know, he called him out of the water, but he had to call the leader out of that boy, if you will. You know, and then out of his leadership, it was going to call nations out, you know, how God said, you have nations in you?
Yes, sir.
Well, you got to get to the leadership part first. So God is waiting on that. Okay? He's waiting on that, and that's one of the things that Moses had to learn because he, for the first, you know, time with the Israelite parents, you know, because of their murmuring and their complaining, they were shut down. They all died off. But Moses delivered the Ten Commandments to them, and he struck the rock out of anger. Second time, God told him to go forth and speak to the rock, and water would flow from the rock. Don't you know God was trying to pull them out of water, much like he pulled Moses out?
Yes, sir.
But then Moses discussed in anger because he got tired of being patient and waiting on them to get their mind right. In reality, he didn't have his right because God told him to speak to the rock, but Moses chose to speak to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. A lot of times God tells us to speak to the situation, but we choose to speak to the individual. Yeah. So God is still waiting on us too. And then yesterday we talked about Naomi, talked about Ruth. And if you didn't get a chance to listen in, please do so. Go to SundayMorningBreakfast.org. It was an awesome call, and how through diligence and loyalty and patience and servitude is a word that we don't like, Ruth was able to put her ways to the side for this woman, her mother-in-law, Naomi. And in the midst of doing so, God saw fit, because the Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing.
Yeah.
People aimlessly use that because they think that the wait is over. So they dress themselves up like a wife. They dress themselves up like a husband and say that I'm mature, God. I know what I want. So we serve God on the pretense that all I want from you is the finer things in life. And God says that I'm still waiting. In other words, we play with God. Our intellect has been enlightened. Our intellect has grown in leaps and bounds. We're much smarter than what we used to be, but only to our own detriment.
Yes, sir.
Because our weight now is curved to what is appealing to my flesh and to my thought patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Thought patterns do not match and line up with those of God. So if our thought patterns do not line up with those of God, unlike Ruth, how will we know what we're waiting on?
Yes.
You must understand that people in the world think that they have waited long enough and now it's time for justice. Doesn't have to be racial, but I'm just talking in general. It's time for me to get the position. So if I can squeak in there, even if it causes me to hurt somebody and cheat and lie to get it, so be it. Ain't God good?
Yes.
But God wouldn't do anything called manipulation, anything that would destroy righteousness for the sake of us progressing and thinking that we've waited long enough. And thank you, God, for providing. I've been waiting for a blessing all my life is what we say. But Ruth never said that. I've been waiting for somebody all my life, so we say. But Ruth never said that.
Yes, sir.
We are so focused on God, our wait is cut short.
Yep.
You know, just like when you're having fun with what you do, the weekend just flies by. But during the week, it's just hard.
Amen.
Ain't that something?
It is.
I can only imagine why the Bible said, you know, that, X amount of days to man is like 1,000-something-odd days to God, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
God enjoys his creation. He does. He's just waiting on us to get it right. But that which he created which doesn't fall in line with him, he will destroy. He did it before, and he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He will do it again. He's just waiting on when he sees fit to do it. Now that we got that out of the way, let's get to these emails, y'all. So y'all already know we have our mainstay, Mr. DJ. Go, DJ. You there, Mr. DJ?
Yes, sir.
All right, are you ready for tonight?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Mr. DJ, we have somebody that's going to be sitting in that hot seat, and she goes by the name of Miss Chiron Bove. Mr. DJ, she wants to challenge your mind a little bit, see what you think about. Okay? Now, I told her you're always prepared, but I don't like to talk about it. You know our motto, be about it, right? So, Miss Chiron, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh, I don't think Miss Chiron ready, Miss Candy. Miss Candy got a scorecard ready. All right. Let me ask that again. Miss Chiron, you ready?
Yes, I am.
Don't be bashful now. Don't be bashful. Mr. DJ, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's get it on then. All right, we're going to start with the first email question. Miss Candy has the first email question, so I want y'all to listen carefully. And, you know, Miss Shiren, since you are the guest, we're going to allow you to answer first and then Mr. DJ. So, Miss Candy, first email question.
All right. It says, my husband and I were trying to get pregnant for 5 years. We went through fertility treatments, but nothing worked. I believe that God is going to bless us, so I am waiting and praying. My husband wants me to give up and refuses to even talk about it. How should I handle this situation when I am happy to wait on God and he has shut down on the issue?
I would say to continue to pray, continue to wait on God, because not all the time our spouses or, you know, whomever are not able to see what we can see. So continue to pray, continue to be obedient to what he's saying, and not only pray, but begin to praise God in the midst of it. Continue to praise him, continue to go forward with the expectancy that it will happen. And, you know, continue to encourage her husband as well in that process.
Okay, okay. Mr. DJ, Ms. Candy, you want to repeat that question one more time, please?
Okay. Just a second here. Because my husband and I were trying to get pregnant for 5 years. We went through fertility treatments, but nothing worked. I believe that God is going to bless us, so I am waiting and praying. My husband wants me to give up and refuses to even talk about it. How should I handle this situation when I am happy to wait on God and he has shut down on the issue?
Well, first of all, when he says he has given up, I mean, given up what? I mean, has he exhausted all resources or literature? He may need to go to the doctor and see what they have to say. If he's given that part up, of course, also keep God first, because ultimately, I don't care how much medical you have, you get pregnant when God allows you to get pregnant. So, I mean, you know, it may be a condition with him or her, but if he doesn't want to talk about it, I wouldn't really force him, but a lot of females don't realize their power, their role as a wife. Because when you say he's giving up, I'm pretty sure he's not giving up on practicing. So if I was that woman, I would stay encouraged. I would still pray about it, continue prayer, and basically encourage him. I would encourage him by any means possible if that's your husband. You know, you guys are husband and wife for life. So this is not the end. There are several people who was even told that they couldn't have kids, and then, wow, you know, if you don't believe that, then turn on Maury.
All right. I know y'all watched the Maury show, okay? All right, now. All right, then we got to scooch right on along. Ms. Shire, are you here?
I'm here.
All right, you watch Maury in it? Don't answer that. Okay. All right, question number two. I'm going to start with you first, Mr. DJ. It
all
says,
right.
Waiting on God sounds good, but in reality, I, for one, lack patience. Can you please share with me something I can do to improve in this area? And please don't say pray about it. I've already done that.
One thing you have to do is exercise discipline. I wouldn't say stop your prayer. By all means, continue. But you have to act on it as well. I mean, I can pray for $1 million. That doesn't mean that God is just going to drop it into my lap. You have to act on it. You have to work. I have to get out there and either make some investments, get a job, do some kind of work. So if you're waiting on God, I mean, I'm not saying that prayer does not work, because it does. That's the power of it. But what you need to do is increase your faith and your discipline. See, that's the thing. If we could control our attitudes and our discipline, then, oh, my goodness, the one thing that might be holding you up is yourself.
Gotcha. All right. Ms. Sharon, what about you? It says, I'm waiting on God sounds good, but in reality, I, for one, lack patience. Can you please share with me something I can do to improve in this area? And please don't say pray about it. I've already done that.
I mean, again, if not mentioned pre, then what are you doing in the midst of waiting? Because if you're saying that you're impatient, then that's one of the things that God is probably working to get you out of, is becoming patient rather than being impatient. So whatever you're praying for and whatever you've been waiting on could be delayed because, again, that's something that he's working out. So if not mentioned, pray. Then, again, just going forward in that expectancy. And, again, go forward in praising God for what he's doing or what he's going to do. And that's how, you know, yielding to him and being obedient, again, will continue to allow you to grow. And, again, if patience is something that he wants to get you to get to the point where get the impatience out and bring patience in, then that's one of the areas that he's going to continue to test you in.
Okay. Yeah, we sharp tonight, boy. We sharp. All right, Monday night. Raw, here goes question number three. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Sharon. It says, if I'm waiting anxiously on God for an answer to my prayer, does that mean that I don't trust him the way I say I do? Or is that type of behavior considered justifiable in his eyes?
Well, he tells us not to be anxious, so we can, you know, expect, again, that what he's doing or what we ask for, we can expect that it'll happen. We can believe that, but we shouldn't be anxious, because when we give it to him, then that's where our faith has to come in as well, and that's also a part of, you know, going forward with that expectancy, and again, just thanking God for it. So not to be anxious, but definitely we can expect it. We can look for it.
All right. Mr. DJ, what about you?
Can you repeat that question again?
Of course, of course. It says, if I'm waiting anxiously on God for an answer to my prayer, does that mean that I don't trust him the way I say I do, or is that type of behavior considered justifiable in his eyes?
Personally, I feel like you're not exercising patience. If you're waiting anxiously, like she said, he tells us not to do that. And I'm going to say that's something that you definitely should not do. You need to pray about it. You need to be disciplined, and you need to trust God. I mean, there are several factors about why, why certain things happen that you don't know. One thing about God, when the beginning is written or begins, he writes the ending. Now, how you get there is up to you. He already knows the ending. He leaves the middle up to us.
Uh-huh.
Prime example, sometimes we need to, if we're driving on a highway and we might be late, and looking like we're going to get there on time because we're speeding. And then there's a car that pulls in front of us. And that car is going very, very slow, very, very slow. And we just, everything short of road rage and panicking and mad and upset. And first thing we thought, oh, Lord Jesus, please remove this, remove that. But later on, while going slow, what we don't realize is up ahead, those cars that were speeding were in an accident. That could have been you. So you never know the reason why certain things are the way they are to slow you down. You got to exercise some patience and some discipline. I think if we would all just change our attitudes towards patience and discipline, I think the end results would be a more favorable and increase our faith to where it needs to be. You just have to be patient. You can't rush God. That's one thing you can't do. You're not going to do. I don't care how anxious you are. It's going to come when he says it's going to come.
Okay. All right. Now, Ms. Sharon, sit back on this one, okay? Because this email is specifically for Mr. DJ. They wanted Mr. DJ to answer this, okay? Mr. DJ, this is just you, okay?
All right.
They said,
All right.
The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. I know I owe my friend money, and I told her not to be anxious about it, but she keeps bugging me. What should I do?
Wow. You should pay your friend back, first of all, by any means necessary. You shouldn't have to make her be anxious because you're kind of contributing to that as well. If you borrow some money from someone, first of all, you don't borrow money unless you have it to pay back. That's first of all. And if you can't pay it back, you need to at least give them an answer. Don't have them anxious. Either it's going to be one or two things. Either you have it or you don't.
Hold on, Mr. DJ, that person is texting me. I will. Hold on. They said, can you please ask Mr. DJ, but didn't the Bible say don't be anxious? And I'm helping them out with patience.
You don't have to be anxious, but you do need to be a man or woman of your word.
All right.
You need to step up and say, hey, you know, I don't have the $10, but I do have a dime. I do have a quarter. And as soon as I get the rest of it, you know, here it is. So
that's,
I just think that's discipline on both sides.
All right, that's what it is. Mr. Shire, did you want to add to that?
Can you repeat the question again, please?
Don't worry about it. DJ got it because it was too, yeah. That was one of those questions for him only.
Oh.
So he's going to ask, yeah. Ms. Sharon, I'm going to start with you first. This is the last question of the evening via email. And it says, waiting on God and being a fool for someone are two different things. Help me out. How am I to be like Ruth when the other person is not being like Naomi? That question got it. Hold on. Ms. Candy, can you give me a 10 count?
Wait, how, okay, so to be like Ruth, I mean, if you're going to be someone that says they want to be like Ruth or going to be like Ruth, then Ruth, despite all what she, whatever it was, she maintained who she, you know, her character, that was her. If the person isn't like Naomi, still, Ruth maintained, I believe that she would have maintained who she, you know, who she is, she wouldn't waver and she wouldn't change. So,
okay. Mr. DJ, waiting on God and being a fool for someone are two different things. Help me out. How am I to be like Ruth when the other person is not being like Naomi?
Well, to be a fool for someone is logical to most of us, meaning you have to exercise some common sense. And when I say common sense, I mean, is this God-like or is it not God-like? You need to pray about it. And if it's not in accordance to God, then guess what? You are being a fool for that other person. I mean, you have to keep yourself disciplined. I mean, you can't keep waiting on someone that's illogical because you will be that person's fool. You don't need to do that. If I'm trying to lose weight and this guy comes and tells me I have these magic beans, you know, take these magic beans and, you know, give me $100, okay? And I don't know him from nobody. I'm just going to go and trust him? No, that's not right. But see, here comes Mr. Carr, who's probably going to charge me $100 an hour.
Hold on, Mr. BJ, be careful with that now. That ain't my price. I go a little higher than that.
Okay, yeah, you know. God sends people your way for a reason, you know, and I have to tell them, hey, bro, I have to work out a payment plan. Let me just get half a workout or something. You know, I'm just saying, you can't be a fool. You know, you if it's not according to God, then it's definitely you being a fool for the other person.
Okay. Ms. Kent, I want you to chime in on that right quick. What you got?
Well, I was going to say there's a couple of things that maybe we don't take into account because the person says, what if the other person is not like Naomi? If you actually go back and read it, the way that Naomi was at the time when Ruth is pledging to be with her is not a bed of roses. She wasn't pledging to be with someone who was happy, upbeat, great to be around. Naomi was so distraught at what had happened to her that she had pretty much given up on a certain way of life. So first, let's not mistake who Naomi was, but more importantly, let's not mistake who Ruth was following after. And even if Naomi would have been the bed of roses person, the person that everyone loves to be around, it wasn't about who she was. It was about who Ruth was, and her faith was a faith walk with God. It was not, just like it wasn't about Boaz, it wasn't even about Naomi in the sense that we take things on. If you're looking at the person and you're saying, I'm being a fool for this person, you're not looking at that person in the same way that God looks at that person. Because when we want God to look at us, it's flaws and all. We want his patience. We want his kindness. We want his forgiveness. But then we look at another person, and we only look at them through the lens of what they've done wrong or how they've fallen short. That's not how God sees us. So if you are to approach this as a Ruth, so to speak, Ruth approached it as God would approach it. So first and foremost, make sure that when you're looking out at that person, you're not staring at their flaws. You're not staring at their disappointments. What you're staring at is the image that God sees of that person. If you can't do that, you have to check yourself, because it doesn't matter what they do.
Mm-hmm. All right, now. Y'all want to write down this scripture? I want to give y'all this scripture to go with that. James 1:19, the Bible says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Essentially, quick to hear. You know how we say, I don't want to hear? That means we lack patience. Mr. DJ brought up Miss Candidate too. And Ms. Shireen alluded to it, the most important scripture in the Bible. Y'all know it, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. It starts off with love is, and what's the first word?
Patience.
That's the first characteristic of God. And kind. Ain't that something? I'm still waiting. God is saying, look at me. This is primarily me. Patience is a virtue. Yeah, y'all know what that means? Virtue? Remember we talked about that some time ago? Having high moral standards. Virtue. Y'all know virtue is high moral standards. Patience is having high moral standards. So if you flip that around, the lack of patience means we have low standards morally. You got to flip things around so that you can get the other side of it. Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that's very important. I want to give y'all another scripture. Hold on. It says Romans 8:25. Write that down. Romans 8:25. It says, but if we hope, listen to this, Mr. DJ, if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Now, that's powerful. If we hope for what we do not see, can you see God?
No, you can't.
You see your future, Miss Candy. You can say vaguely, yeah, I do know, but can you see it? Like, can you see it right now? No. Miss Shireen, can you see, you know, what the next question is? No.
No.
But if we hope for it, we do not see God. We hope. We wait for it with patience. When we hope for something that we don't see, God forces our hands. He forces patience upon us. In other words, God forces us to be like him. Woo, y'all got to catch that. He forces us to be. In other words, you know, when you say, well, who do that? Who did that? That wasn't the rock. Y'all know who the people's champ was. What was the one who waved his hand in front talking about you can't see me? Who was that? Come on, what was their wrestler's name?
Hulk Hogan?
No, the one who waved his hand in front of his face and say like that, you know, he was, after The Rock, they made him the people's champ. Come on, he acted movies like the military type guy. What is his name? But anyway, when he's saying this, you can't see me.
It was John Cena?
John Cena. His little gesture, wavy, that's what the football athletes was doing. Everybody started doing it. Basically, you can't see me, right? Well, look at what Romans 8:28 said. 8:25, I'm sorry. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The Bible says God is patient, love is patient, and he's kind. Look at the word he used, patient. In other words, God can't see us because we're not on yet his level. Lord, have mercy. Y'all didn't catch that. Somebody it makes sense to, but somebody else, let me help you out with this. God is not going to tell us to do something that he's not doing. Love is patient. Love is kind. If we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. God is a spirit. God does not see us on his level. This is large. Y'all ain't catching yet? Why do you think so many won't see God? Because he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. How can you see me and not know me, Father? Because I never saw you. Uh-oh. But if we hope, but God hopes, this is why God prays for us. Remember the Bible said, I pray for you.
Yeah.
But I don't just pray, I do, because I'm still waiting. I hope, I have an expected end for you. And that hope, brings about a faith. Hope produces faith, y'all. And faith is active when it's in God. That means faith does things. Why you think God keep on doing for us, although he don't see us? Because it brings about something called patience. That's why he's patient with us. Hold on. Let me flip it around, Mr. DJ. Check this out, Miss Candy. Y'all know whenever we didn't have an attitude with somebody talking about you lied to me before? Well, look at Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we do not see, in other words, you say, I don't believe it. Let you say no more. In other words, you saying it, but you ain't never do it. So you, since you ain't see it, you don't hope for it no more. That's why you say, I can't stand you. I can't tolerate being around you. Because you have no more patience with them because you no longer hope nothing with them.
That's right.
Y'all, the people who you don't have patience with is the people you no longer have hope connected to with. Y'all know that?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir.
So if we lack hope in God, that means we're not, if we lack patience with God, that means we have no more hope, Miss Siren, in God. Whatever you're not patient with, you no longer have hope in.
Wow.
Miss Candy, can I say it? Y'all put the phone on y'all other ear right quick. Okay? Whatever you lack patience with, you no longer have hope in. See,
that's right.
Patience with the devil. I don't. My hope ain't in it. The reason why some people are okay with being fools, according to the world standard of fool, is because they still have hope in what the devil.
My Lord.
Yes, indeed.
But when God tells you something and you say, I'm tired of being powerful, Pastor. I'm tired of being powerful, Mr. DJ. Miss Kent, I heard what you say. Miss Sharon, you chimed in too. I'm tired of this God thing. That's only because you don't have patience in it because your hope ain't in God no more. And you go running to that person and talking about, but he said he was getting his, you know, his check from when he was in an accident, so I'm waiting on him. That's why I do what I do for him. You don't even see it, but you hope it because you have, the reason why you have patience with that because you hope that he do.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see it?
The reason why God is patient with you and I, because God is still saying, I'm waiting. I have hope in you. I have an expected end for you. Somebody else gave up on you. The world gave up on you. But remember, the world don't judge like I judge. They judge by outer appearance. I know what's in you because I placed it there. I need you to know what's in you. Y'all get it?
Yes.
All righty. Thank you so much, Ms. Sharon, for joining us, Mr. DJ. Uh-oh, hold on. Somebody chimed in. We had some callers, a caller or two, Ms. Candy, with email question or call question, rather. Who we got?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question.
I'm sorry, I didn't have a question. I was just trying to answer who John Cena was.
Oh, well, who was John Cena?
Oh, no, I was trying to give the answer to
no.
We're talking about.
Okay, oh, you knew who John Cena was?
Yes.
Okay, you waved your hand over your face?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. What do you got, Mr. DJ?
Huh.
Ms. DJ had a question. All right, if we had that email question or the call question, star 5 real quickly. Did we have someone, Ms. Candy?
She's on the line, sir.
Oh, that's your question.
Okay, my question is, I have prayed and prayed, been very patient, but it seems like too much time has passed. How long do you wait on an answer?
Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you.
Okay, if you're praying to God, then there is no time limit. Sometimes his answer is silent.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes his answer is small. Sometimes it's large. My old pastor used to tell me, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. But
uh-huh.
No prayer, no power.
All right.
What am I saying? What I'm saying is, with what you're asking him for, are you asking the same thing repetitively over and over and over, or are you seeking his face? Because he will give you answers in ways that you may not be plain to you. You might have to look for an inward answer rather than an outward answer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Ms. Shira?
Like DJ just said, there is no time, you know, when we praying and we waiting on God, because our timing is not his timing. And if we are, you know, waiting on God to answer, he may very well be answering us. But if we're focused on one specific thing, you know, we're looking one way for him to answer, he may be answering in another way. And the other thing is to be able to look inside of ourselves and see if there's anything that's blocking us from hearing him, or seeing what it is that we've been praying for. So those are the things that, you know, we would have to look at. But, you know, continue to wait and continue to seek him.
Right. And, y'all, it's important that we hear God. And what I mean by that, because I don't want anybody to be misled, hear God is to understand God. Because we physically think that we can hear God. No, to hear God, and this is why so many people are waiting. They're waiting for a sign. I'm waiting, God. Where you at? I'm waiting. I'm waiting on a sign. Boy, if DJ called me tonight, that means it's a go. I'm waiting on a sign. That's not hearing God. Hearing God says, I know how my God is going to respond. Y'all, we start testing God. So when we say, y'all listen to me now. When we say, that's confirmation, y'all, you got to be very careful. Because that's along the lines, and correct me if I'm wrong, Miss Candy, that's along the same lines of people tempting God. You know how people, and you call them crazy, but somebody can also call you crazy. You know how people say, you know, they playing with them snakes and talking about, I ain't going to get bit. And you say that's crazy because the Bible says don't tempt God. Well, what are you doing? We wait for, you know, boy, let me help us out right quick with patience and waiting. You know when you say confirmation, that's confirmation. You, boy, because a lot of people have said that, right? Come on, tell me the truth. Y'all have said that?
Yeah.
You know what they're saying, Mr. DJ? I didn't trust DJ answer. I need a candy to repeat it.
Exactly.
Hold on, better yet. It says, not that I didn't trust DJ Anson, I didn't know how DJ sounded. So we had to use Candy. That means me and DJ don't have a personal relationship. So if you and God had a personal relationship, why he got to send a third party?
Yes, indeed.
I'm T, because I want to sit there right there. What a little foggy that. A little foggy. Sip on that tea. Somebody said,
awesome.
Didn't he send it to David through Nathan? He did.
Right.
And that's when David was in folly, too, in foolery. He was caught up in sin. But tell me, watch this. Hold on, Miss Lee, I'm going to get to you. Tell me, who did he send to Jesus to confirm anything with him? I know the typical response was shouting, but there was God in the flesh. Jesus was more human than you and I are. You know why? Because he's the only person that's marked down in history who bore everybody's sins. Now, how more human can you be?
Amen.
Candy, you can't bear everybody's sins. Siren, neither you, Mr. DJ, neither I. But Jesus did. But who did he need to confirm anything? Or did he hear from God himself and say, Father, let your will be done then? Who confirmed anything with him? See, we be patiently waiting on an answer from somebody else and really not God. You know why? Because we're scared to go before God and we really don't know him. Or we know him, but we just don't understand him because we don't know what to listen for. You got it, Mr. DJ.
Yeah, I was just saying there was a man that was praying to God for money. He wanted an excess of $10,000. And he kept praying and kept praying and said, Lord, please, just give me some sign. I need this money. I've been faithful to you. I've done everything. Father, please give me this money. I need this money. You're going to foreclose on the house soon. So please bless me with this money. Now, mind you, this man left his job, and he calls it faith. I'm going to just step out on faith. The Lord is going to bring me this money. And he's looking every day, checking his bank account and everything. But instead, he was walking through the back porch and found a pickaxe, like a little hole tool that you can dig in the ground. And
yes, sir.
What he didn't understand was that was his answer right there. He's thinking that God has failed him and he's growing antsy, but that was his answer. When he fell and tripped over that pickaxe, because he then tripped over it about 3 or 4 times. But his final time, he fell. He fell. He was laying there, and he looked at that pickaxe, and he took it and went out there and actually tended his land and tended to the soil of his land and was able to produce one of the biggest farms on that side. So what am I saying? Sometimes your answer is right there. We don't want to see it. We want God to talk to us the way we want. We want to order him around. We want him to talk to us in a special kind of way, almost like we God, like we royalty. We don't come to him humbly and listen, like you said, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, y'all. So at some point in time, we got to, you know for ourselves and be fully convicted that says, you know, hold on. We've been waiting for the perfect mate, and we want the perfect man. You know, can you unmute one person for Ms. Shabree right quick? Because Ms. Shabree had an interesting little topic going on, Mr. DJ. It's something that she saw on the Internet, and I just wanted to introduce this to you all because this is real. Ms. Shabree, briefly, in brief, can you share with us, just in brief, that little discussion we had, a little debate going on with the men and the women. What is it?
Oh, okay. With the men and women. They had like, let me see if I can get it for you. 5 things that you would like for what a man should do. And they was debating on that. And it's like they should open the door for you. They should text you. And the last one had they should pay your bills for you. If they don't pay your bills for you, that mean they don't care for you? So they had a big debate going on with that back and forth.
Wow.
Now, you know about 95% of the people on this phone, women right now, talking about, I don't see the wrong. Talking about preach. But, Mr. Boo, what article did it say what a woman should do for a man? What did it say on that article?
Okay.
That had none.
It didn't have what a woman should do for a man. It had what the man should do for the woman.
Yeah, I was picking with her. No, when we wait on God, we got to understand a whole bunch of things, okay? Because through our anxiousness, women and men, even when it comes to that, Satan will have us fighting each other because of anxiousness. You got to understand the result of anything righteous would never lead to a quarrel, a fight.
All right.
It would never lead to confusion or contentions. It would never drive you into jealousy and deceit. But the things of the world or man creation or anything outside of God would drive you to just that. So our weight is not on God no more. It's about who can fulfill those five checkpoints. And eventually we'll have something called buyer's remorse. But don't blame the person. You also have to look at yourself, because we lacked fortitude to be patient with God because we really didn't understand God himself. If the man doesn't look, think, talk, walk, react, respond, lead, submit like God does, because we understand that God submits to us too. He wouldn't tell us to submit one year to another if he didn't do it to us first. Remember, we first love him because he first did what? Love us.
Love.
See, that's where a lot of people don't get it right, because somebody didn't teach us the proper form of waiting. God submits to us. If he didn't submit to us, well, then why did Jesus come? Waiting means submit. Submitting means to serve. He submitted to us. So when we have a problem with submitting one to another, men, when you have a problem with submitting to the woman, women, when you have a problem with submitting to the man, you are outside of the will of God, and you no longer have hope in him. Because now I'm looking for the next paycheck, and who can pay it? And you'll find it, too. But understand, that's where your patience and your hope are going to be reliant upon, because as soon as the money run out, so do you. Mr. DJ, you want to go ahead and pray for us, please?
Yes. Father God, thank you for bringing us together again and bringing us on one accord as we close out this lesson on I'm Still Waiting. Father, I pray that something was said, something heard, touched us, Father, something that helped us to grow. The nutrients of what was said help us to grow spiritually, and that we can take it and multiply it and actually go out and teach others and let your light shine. Bless us, keep us on the path, Father, and bless everybody under the sound of my voice. In your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night. Catch us on Wednesday for Bible study. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.